Good morning, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship, some of which got in the bulletin. We do have a deacons meeting this coming Tuesday in the annex. That'll be at 6:30, Tuesday, 6:30. Also, we'll have a congregational meeting next Sunday morning to receive the budget and act on the recommendations of the Mary Horton Committee. So please plan to remain after worship. Next Sunday morning, we'll have our annual meeting. Now, these made the bulletin. We'll have our prayer breakfast. Monthly prayer breakfast will be this Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. And we will also have Bible study this week. Now on Thursday at 1 at Dennis and Dorothy's house. And I would remind you to please put your phones on airplane mode. That seems to help with the live streaming, which we'll be doing of just the scripture and sermon portion of the worship service. Let's now be called to worship. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's worship our God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. Oh, our Lord, don't let us bring any of our pride into worship today. Don't let us bring any of our self-centeredness into your presence today as we come to worship, and especially as we come to your table. Help us truly to confess the lack of love for you, the lack of love for one another that has gotten us into so much trouble throughout our lives. Help us to turn away from our sin. Help us to rely only on the perfect sacrifice of Christ, the one who died so that we might be forgiven, the one who rose from the dead so that we might have newness of life today, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 626. As we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we'll read from Mark's account of the first time Jesus asked his disciples to do that. Selection 626, I'll read the light face print and encourage you to respond with bold. Let's read this portion of God's Word responsibly. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lambs were being slaughtered, his disciples said to him, Where would you like us to go and prepare for your Passover supper?
So he sent out two of his disciples with these instructions. Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and when he enters the house, give this message to the householder. The master says, Where is the room reserved for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?
He will show you a large room upstairs set out in readiness. Make the preparations for us there.
Then the disciples went home, and when they came into the city, they found everything just as he had told them, so they prepared for Passover.
In the evening, he came to the house with the 12. As they sat at supper, Jesus said, "I tell you this, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." During supper, he took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them with the words, "Take this, this is my body."
Then he took the cup, and having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, shed for many. I tell you this, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table as we turn in our hymnals to selection 212. Selection 212. We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing. We have sung the praise of our Lord. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
may be seated. And I need to do a minute for mission today to explain an item that is in the announcements column. If you'll notice, the fourth item down is an offering that Session has approved to be taken for Genesis Church in Mercedes, Texas. And I have a letter from the pastor of Genesis Church, Hector Reynoso, who is no stranger to many of you, that I'd like to read to explain what this offering is all about. We'll receive this offering on Easter Sunday. Hector writes, 7 years ago, our congregation was accepted as a transitional member into the EPC. By the way, that's about the same time we came in 2012. We had a painful exodus from our former denomination, in which we lost our facilities, finances, 3 acres of land, and a cemetery. In our new denomination, the Lord has healed our wounds, and we joyfully thank the Lord for providing a place for us in the EPC, especially in the Gulf South Presbytery. We still do not have facilities, but we rejoice that the Lord has provided land for Genesis. In the not-so-far future, our new facilities will provide Genesis with a place to worship and serve our Heavenly Father. Also, our new facilities will provide a place for all churches in the Presbytery and in the EPC that would like to bring mission or evangelism or activity groups to Mercedes, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, along the border with Mexico. Including us, there are 4 small EPC churches in the Rio Grande Valley that would be blessed with your partnership in this project. Our hearts are forever grateful to all the churches of the Gulf South Presbytery. Your prayers and financial gifts are bringing our dream within reach. Thank you for all that you've done. We did not meet our goal of being in our new facilities last year, but we are trying again. Our goal now is to have new facilities by our 7th anniversary in the EPC, October 21, 2019. On Resurrection Sunday, April 21st, Genesis will be collecting a special offering to raise funds for our new facilities. The Session of Genesis Presbyterian Church humbly asks and invites your session and congregation to prayerfully consider participating in this special offering, and thus help us have a place of worship. Will your church collect a special offering for Genesis on April 21? Any amount will be joyfully received. Now that our blueprints and plans are closer to being ready, the new estimate is about $450,000. We have now raised close to $160,000. We thank you for all your prayers and assistance in the past. We are forever grateful for your loving generosity. To God alone be the glory. Sincerely, con cariño y amor, which means with affection and love, in Christ, Hector Reynoso, pastor at Genesis Presbyterian Church. So I hope we'll be in prayer about that and seek to help the good folks at Genesis who had a much rougher transition into the EPC than we did, and seek to be a blessing to them, even as we have received a great blessing to be in the EPC. Let's now prepare our hearts for prayer as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 353. Selection 353. We'll sing all 4 stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Amen.
may be seated. And I hope you've noticed as we sang that hymn that we've really already begun our prayer time. We've asked the Lord to draw us closer to Him. We've confessed our pomp and our pride. And we've asked the Lord to fill us with Himself. So in that spirit of confession, which is an important way that we need to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, in a spirit of contrition, in a spirit of repentance, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you today. We come to your table today. And Lord, we would come in a right manner. We would come in the right way. And so help us, Lord, to remember our need for you. Help us to remember, O Lord, that our hearts have not been what they ought to be. Not as individuals, not as a people. Lord, we have spent much too much time focused on the creation and not nearly enough time focused on the Creator this week. Lord, we've allowed our daily concerns to crowd out fellowship with you. And even though we have sung that we want to be nearer to you, Lord, we find almost anything more interesting than prayer and reading your scripture, which are ways of drawing close to you. And so as we come to this table, Lord, we have to confess that we haven't been as close to you as we should. And Lord, we have to confess too that we haven't treated others the way we would like to be treated. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves the way Jesus taught us to. We haven't done that as a people. Lord, we as Americans have allowed race to divide us for so many years. We've allowed socioeconomic status to allow us to look down on others. Lord, we've been suspicious of newcomers. We haven't been welcoming and loving as you've called us to be. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not drawing closer to you. Forgive us for not drawing closer to others. And as we come to this table, Lord, help us to remember our need for you so that we might truly receive your grace the way that we need to receive it. We might receive your grace, because without your grace, all of us are nothing more than hopeless, helpless sinners. None of us are any better than anyone else. And yet we thank you for your forgiveness in Christ, and we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. Though we are sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God showed his love to us. So let's worship our loving, gracious God as we give unto him his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O Lord, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. We pray that you would accept these gifts that we offer unto you. Use them according to your will. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. On this Communion Sunday, we turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and we'll read the entire chapter. Remember that Deuteronomy is Moses' briefing, if you will, of the people of Israel before they go into the Promised Land. And he's warning them about the dangers of the prosperity that they are getting ready to experience. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, which means to test thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth, disciplines, his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass, copper. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as he did this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. That's God's word. That's God's word for us today. Happy days are here again. That's the song we've been singing in Port Gibson this week, right? A proposal for a new liquefied natural gas plant has been unveiled, which will bring thousands of jobs to the area. They're even talking about starting up some related operations at Laterno so the prosperity could extend even into South Warren County. Happy days are here again. Of course, by worldwide standards, we Americans have been fabulously wealthy for quite some time. Our fertile farmland produces all the food and fiber we need and much more to send overseas. Our spirit of free enterprise and free inquiry have led to technological innovations that have revolutionized transportation and communication and computation, and our stable system of representative government has protected and encouraged all kinds of entrepreneurship. Yes, just as the ancient Israelites were defined when they entered the promised land, we have everything we need. We have been blessed. So why the note of warning in this passage? Because, to put it simply, prosperity can be perilous. Prosperity can be dangerous. In verses 12 through 14, Moses warned the people that once they had eaten their fill, once they had nice homes to live in, once they had material possessions multiplied, it would be easy for them to become proud. It would be easy for them to become complacent. In fact, verse 17 says that they would be tempted to give themselves the credit for the peace and the prosperity they would enjoy. And it's all too easy for us modern Americans to do the same thing. Whenever prosperity comes our way, it's easy for us to assume the permanence of our wealth. It's easy for us to presume upon God's grace. So, how can we avoid the pitfalls of prosperity? How can we avoid this trap? How can we enjoy the good times in the proper way? Well, the first thing we need to do is to remember the tough times and why we went through them. Now, Moses wanted his people to remember the years of their wilderness wanderings. He wanted them to remember being hungry. He wanted them to remember being tired. Moreover, in verse 5, he reminded them that the reason they had to spend 40 years in the desert was a form of discipline. Because the previous generation had not trusted the Lord to lead them into the promised land when they first arrived at its borders. Now, we've been through some tough times too, haven't we? Just recently in Port Gibson, the cottonseed oil mill and the hardwood flooring factory closed around 2002. Our Great Recession started many years before the stock market crash. Letourneau ceased operations in 2011. Chamberlain Hunt was closed in 2014. The loss of these and other good-paying jobs has brought hard times to a lot of other local businesses, many of which had to close. Lots of folks have had to move out of the area to find work. Others have just given up hope. And we can't deny that at least part of the reason we have been through these hard times in Southwest Mississippi is because of the sins of our ancestors. Can we be honest? Part of the reason that businesses haven't wanted to move in here is because of the way black folk and white folk have been treating each other for so many years. I mean, let's face it, the prosperity that built this room, the prosperity we had before 1863, was based on African slavery. That was just wrong. The prosperity we had around the turn of the 20th century and then again in the 1950s, well, it wasn't shared by everyone. Let's be honest. A lot of people were excluded from educational opportunities and even some jobs because of their ancestry, and that was wrong. But after the civil rights movement, things haven't gotten a whole lot better. For again, voting for people because of their ancestry is just as wrong as keeping people from voting for the same reason. It's no wonder that businesses are hesitant to locate where they can't depend on honest jurors and honest government officials to protect their property and fairly administer the laws. Look, any careful student of history would acknowledge that neither greed nor envy are good foundations on which to build a healthy society. But that's what we've tried to do for too long. For too long. So the question for us is the same one that Moses posed to the people of his time. All of us, black and white folk here in Southwest Mississippi, the question is this: are we still trying to make it on our own? Are we still trying to prosper in the self-centered way, that all too often makes sense to us to get what's ours no matter what happens to the other guy? Or have we allowed our tough times to humble us? Have we at last come to the understanding that we need to do things God's way? Are we willing to admit that we need God to lead us and to provide for us? Well, that's the second way we can avoid the dangers of prosperity, not just by accepting the discipline of God, but by remembering that God is the one who has given whatever prosperity we have enjoyed through the years. That was certainly true in Moses' day. Even though the people of Israel had to stay in the desert because of their lack of faith in God, God never gave up on them all during that time. God continued to give them bread from heaven to eat. God kept their clothes from wearing out. God kept their shoes from wearing out. And can't we give the same sort of testimony as individual people? Yes, even during these tough economic times. How many of us have kept jobs? How many of us have gotten jobs that we prayed for? And how many other prayers has God answered? Prayers for healing for ourselves or our loved ones. Prayers for release from addictions or from besetting sins. Now, we may not literally have had bread rain down out of heaven on us as it did on those people in Moses' time, but we've all experienced God's blessings in one way or another. And remembering how God has provided for us in the tough times can keep us humble in the good times when they do show up. Remembering that God is the one who gives us the power to make wealth, that's what verse 18 says, that can keep us from selfish pride and from envy and from greed when new opportunities come our way. In order to avoid the pitfalls of prosperity, we need to do more than just remember the tough times and how God has protected and provided for us. And we need to do more than just remember how God has disciplined us. As a response to God's grace, as a result of God's discipline, we need to devote ourselves to the service of God. Over and over throughout this passage, God reminds his people to do what he commands, to keep his ordinances and statutes, to walk in his ways, to fear him, to fear him. Now remember, we saw last week that this sort of fear of God is not abject terror. It's the sort of grateful, loving confidence that little children place in their parents. For given how God has provided for us and given how God has disciplined us, he deserves the same sort of awe and wonder and respect and obedience that little children give to their earthly fathers and mothers. So, if we need to recognize God's discipline, if we need to remember God's blessings, and if we need to devote ourselves to God's service, what is it that God has told us to do? What is it that God has told those of us who fear him to do? To put him first. I mean, isn't that what the great commandment says? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. Put him first. Turning away from, well, anything else we might be tempted to put in God's place. Money or careers or success. Anything that we might look to for meaning or purpose or fulfillment in life. We have to turn away from those things. What else has God told us to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn away from selfish greed or envy. Treat other people the same way that you would like to be treated. Can we doubt that ignoring God's law of love has in one way or another contributed to so many of our hard times? And can we doubt that virtuous people, that godly people, that people who seek to order their lives according to God's word, can we doubt that they will prosper? So yes, we may very well see a lot of prosperity in the coming days, and it's good to be excited about those opportunities. But in order for that prosperity to be a blessing to us and to others, in order for us to avoid all the pitfalls of prosperity, in order for us to avoid the selfishness and the pride and the envy and the greed that can go along with prosperity, we need to pay careful attention to this passage, and specifically to verse 3. For the most important kind of wealth is not material, it's spiritual. The most important food is not what is going to be on our lunch tables after worship. The most important food is right here. Right here. Now this bite of bread, this sip of juice will not satisfy our physical hunger, but that's part of the point of this sacrament. For this meal tells us that only the Christ to which these things point can satisfy our spiritual hunger. Only Christ, through his perfect sacrifice, can wash us of all those things, all those problems we and our ancestors had in the past. Only Christ can wash us of our greed and our envy and our pride and our hatred of others. Only Christ can wash us of all the sins that have plagued our area for so long. Only Christ, as he fills us with himself, can heal us. Can heal us of our disappointment, can heal us of our discouragement, can heal us of our hopelessness, all the things that have held us back for so long. And only as all who trust in him truly become the body of Christ can we live his life, not of selfishness and pride, but a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of unconditional love for others. It's only as Christ is within us that we can truly use all our worldly opportunities and blessings to build a healthy, godly society. So, if you think that a new job or more worldly success will make you happy, if you're still focused on bread alone, there's nothing on this table for you. This will not satisfy you. But if you long to live according to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, if you trust in Christ alone as your Savior, if you bow the knee to him as your Lord, whatever church you made your public profession of faith in, then come to the table. Come and be filled with nothing less than Christ himself. Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table as we take our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 220. Selection 220. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last stanzas, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. Again, it is not required of those who partake of this meal that they be members of this congregation or other Presbyterian congregations. All those who have been baptized and have made a public profession of faith in Christ are welcome to this table because this is the Lord's table. But remember this, Paul does say that whoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so if you are an unbeliever or an unrepentant believer living in defiance of Christ's commands, or if you just don't know what this bread and this cup mean, then for your sake, do not participate in this meal. But remember, too, what Jesus said. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. So if you truly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, and if you intend to follow the commandments of God and to walk in his holy ways, then draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength, making your humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, you know what's inside our minds and our hearts. There's no way we can hide anything from you, so we're not going to try. Lord, we know when we look into your perfect law of love that we have not lived up to your expectations. We don't love you with our whole heart the way we should. We don't love our neighbors just as much and in the same way as we should. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for failing you. Forgive us for not trusting in you as we should. And for Jesus' sake, Lord, for the sake of Christ who shed his blood, who gave up his body on the cross, forgive us. But not only forgive us, Lord, cleanse us. Let this encounter with Christ wash away our sin and make us truly part of his body so that we might fulfill your law of love. Not because we have to in order to be saved, but because we want to, because we've been saved. Forgive us, Lord, for we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and trust in Christ. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Truly, all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness you give us in Christ. We thank you for the food on this table. We ask now that you would be with us, that this bread and this fruit of the vine might be set apart, that we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us. Grant us here that we might so feed upon Christ, that he might be one with us, and we might be one with him, that he might live in us, and we might live in him. Oh, Lord, let us live for him who has loved us and given himself for us. And so we lift our hearts up to heaven where Jesus Christ is, seated at your right hand. We know he shall come again to complete our redemption. In him all your promises are fulfilled. In him all spiritual blessings are found. And so it's in joy of heart and in Christian love for one another that we come to this table, giving you thanks for the great love you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you. And feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. after the same manner, our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for graciously feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we ask you, O Heavenly Father, to enable us with your grace that we might continue in your holy fellowship, that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. We'll sing just the first stanza of our closing hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let us stand to sing. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.